Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? This is the Locked On NHL Podcast, your Friday edition. Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola, normally joining you here, getting you into the weekend. Tom, you enjoying football? Sports are kind of running down, I found the other day. Actually, this week, no sports on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, basically. And that's coming from someone that's a baseball fan, not a baseball fan. So,
yeah, well, if you were a baseball fan, I've been watching a lot of the ALCS and LCS, and I want to see Houston lose. Obviously, I thought the heckler at Petco Park with the bullhorn shaming every roster player from the Astros championship team was hilarious from outside the stadium. I think that was a great touch by a passionate fan. And then the football side of things, Joe, is keeping me going. You know, we've clearly gone into the dark phase of the National Hockey League, although there's still some information. But I had this like really harsh realization the other day. It's like, hey, we're only going to have NFL, but thankfully, due to COVID, which is a terrible thing to think about and say, there might be NFL games every day of the week for the rest of the season with all the schedule juggling that's going on. But yep. Hockey, man, you know, January 1st is the target. I've heard whispers that it could slide even further, and I really hope that's not the case, but we shall see. And yeah, you're right. It is kind of winding down a little bit, and I'm scared of the possibility of dipping my toe into European football, aka soccer, because that's not my jam whatsoever. That is my jam.
Tom, you gotta give it a shot. That's all I'm saying. Give it one shot. You pick a team. You ride along with them. There's reasons to pick teams too. I like the process of trying to just pick one. I did that.
I understand
college,
that,
but
yeah.
It's the sport.
See, I
though.
Get that, Joe. And It is. I'll watch World Cup, Euro, and stuff like that. Team Canada is terrible, although we have Alphonso Davies now, who's like a skyrocketing star. And he's from Edmonton, which is insane. And he grew up playing here. To see him with Bayern Munich is fantastic. But right. I'll say this, as the son of a Polish lady and an Italian guy, I have zero interest in soccer outside of the big tournaments.
That's how I was forever. I mean, I got into Premier League probably right before I graduated. So we're talking like probably 6-7 years now. Five, six years. So I get it though. I understand it. I've tried to get my brother into it a million times and it's not, it hasn't hit. It hasn't stuck. So I get it. The Masters.
Good
also,
luck.
The Masters is coming up next month though. So it's not like we're going to be barren
right.
here. Hockey, meanwhile, you mentioned there, like we don't quite know when it's coming back. Got some details maybe that were leaked or not even leaked. Like he just kind of Bill Foley, Vegas Golden Knights owner, just kind of let some stuff go on a radio show this week. So we'll talk about that in just a second. We're going to talk some plenty of free agency. There've been a ton of big moves in the last week since we last spoke. So we'll do that after we talk a little bit about the scheduling, because we got to start with Bill Foley, the Golden Knights owner, on with Brian Blessing on Vegas Hockey Hotline in Las Vegas. And it all started with one comment where he kind of let a detail of the season, it seems, slip without, you know, intending to, because the question he was asked was about facing Nate Schmidt, former Golden Knights defenseman, recently traded to the Canucks for a third round pick. And he was asked about facing Nate Schmidt in the Canucks. And in his answer, Foley says, quote, "Yeah, but they're going to be in the Canadian division." Then when that's, of course, followed up on, like, Canadian division, what are you talking about? He says, "I think there's going to be a Canadian division. I don't think that we are going to be crossing the border. Who knows if we are even going to play. If we aren't playing in front of fans, a lot of teams can't make it." Then more from Foley on next season. Quote, "We've got to be done with our season sometime around the end of June because NBC has the Olympics. I think it's going to be less than 60 games. There was another question, I don't have the quote for this in front of me, but he was asked about keeping Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner on the same team. And he mentioned how we might have a lot of 4 or 5 games in 1 week because we're trying to jam-pack this schedule in. So I'm throwing all of that at you at once, but the details of the season, if it's, you know, 50 to 60 games and they have to have a Canadian division, I mean, it is news, but I guess they're not, it's not totally surprising to me that those would have things like that would have to happen.
No, and the Canadian division thing, like, that was basically an open secret. I think you and I have talked about it on this program a little bit. I may have mentioned it, you know, during the postseason, because at the rink, that was something that we would talk about at press level, is, you know, the realities of the border not being open, and then all of a sudden, you know, these regional divisions being made for a season, hopefully at the most, but it'd still be pretty neat. And we saw baseball do it this year. It's totally feasible. And you play, let's call them series against teams, you know, three or four game sets, and cram them into smaller, tighter, compacted schedules. Throw away the fat of the season. Throw away the All-Star game, the Winter Classics, the bye week, which I personally can't stand, but it is part of the CBA. And so here we finally have an owner talking about it. And then, you know, he tries to backtrack a little bit. Well, I think, you know, there might be a Canadian division. But and I kind of like Bill Foley in the fact that he is willing to just say stuff like this. Maybe his tact as an NHL owner hasn't been completely formed yet, because he's still relatively new to the league. And I appreciate that. So you get those little nuggets. I'm sure someone from the league office said, "Hey, Bill, like, come on, man." But I like that, because it is a very real possibility. And a Canadian division is pretty cool to me, Joe, because, you know, we'd have the Oilers playing the Canadians because they're in the same division. The Oilers playing the Leafs because they're in the same division, even though they were in the same conference for years and years and years. Oilers playing the Ottawa Senators, whatever, but they're in the same division. Like, to me, that's pretty neat. And this messed up time that we live in creates these unique opportunities. And then we could see the other regional divisions in the National Hockey League forming. And then when the time comes, like Bill Foley hinted at, you know, in the summer, we could go into bubble type situations or something like that for the postseason. Or if things are better and the vaccine has been distributed by then, maybe teams are playing in their own buildings. Who knows? That's further down the road. We'll see where we're at as a society and all of that. And yep. I like it. And I just, thanks, Bill Foley. That's, you know, you're giving a little nugget to hockey fans and the media, and confirming little rumblings that we had been hearing for weeks.
Yeah. He did mention at one point too, that he wondered if February 1st was going to be a closer target to where they actually get going with the season. January 1st is what Gary Bettman said last week. I would guess, by the way, Gary Bettman's not the happiest camper in the world that Bill came out and said all this, because usually the league keeps a lot of that stuff under tight wraps, at least when they're going into the media. But I think it was inevitable that you were going to have the shorter season on, I'm speaking specifically here. It was inevitable you were going to have a shorter season, because if you wanted to get back to your normal calendar of October to June, from the beginning of the season to the end of the finals, then you were, unless you were going to plan on getting back to that 3 years from now and kind of, you know, having shorter off seasons for a couple of years, like, there was no way you were going to fit in an 82 game season. So that was expected from me. The Canadian division, like you said, was expected from me. The comment about, hey, if there's not fans in the seats, I wonder if everybody will be able to make it. That's worrisome, I think, because this is a league where, if you look at the shared revenue, like the six or seven top teams, some of those original six teams, like the Rangers and the Leafs and the Blackhawks and Montreal, like, there's a group of six or seven teams that make up for like 80%+ of the revenue this league makes. And when suddenly you take away, it's already a bit of a gate driven sport. When you take the gate away, if that's what ends up happening, then some teams financially, I'm sure, will definitely be strained. But there's nothing I've seen yet, other than that little comment, that would make me think that, hey, some team's not going to be able to play because they just can't make it work financially.
Yeah, that to me was kind of puzzling a little bit, because I'm like, well, what about the TV money and the board sponsors and things like that? That's revenue. That's big time revenue. You're getting $500 million from Rogers. You're getting, I think it's a couple hundred million from NBC. And so you're saying no to all that money. And then, you know, there's some areas that could have fans in limited capacities. Like, I think, Joe, my instinct tells me they have to play, right? They have to play. If baseball's playing And now in certain states, they're allowing limited numbers of fans. We're watching Globe Life Field where, you know, they have what, like 10,000 fans in that stadium. There's got to be something that happen. We saw Eugene Melnick, by the way, this week come out and say that the Senators have a plan in place to allow up to 6,000 spectators a game. And if the Senators of all organizations have a plan in place, you would think too that there's other teams, more competent organizations that have also started to put those plans into place depending on the regional health restrictions.
You want Chinese, they want pizza, and someone's craving Froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat. Your food will be left safely outside your door with their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Many of your local favorite restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left right at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDONNHL. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store, enter the promo code LOCKEDONNHL. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNHL for $5 off your first order at DoorDash.
Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola here in the Locked On NHL podcast. All right, let's get into some of the big free agent stories over the last week. We were just talking about Vegas Golden Knights owner Bill Foley. So let's just start with the Golden Knights. They landed the whale. Like, they got the big name in free agency. I think Taylor Hall was definitely the top forward. And among free agents in the last, you know, 5-6 years, he's definitely among the best as well. But Alex Pietrangelo, I mean, we've discussed him thoroughly on this podcast before. Both of us were surprised that the Blues did not lock him up. He is a Norris Trophy level defenseman. He is 30 years old, so a 7-year deal for $61.6 million. There is a chance, there's maybe even a good chance, that the last year or two of that contract, Vegas is going to have a problem on their hands. But for at least 5 years, 4 or 5 years, I would think, given how good Pietrangelo is, this is going to be a great deal for the Golden Knights, bringing in a franchise defenseman. Because one thing that, Tom, I don't know if you have thought the same about them, I have always looked at them and thought, okay, they've got an elite group up front forward-wise. And then defensemen, like, they're just kind of solid 1-6. Like, I don't know if they have one guy that you could point to all the time and say, yeah, that guy's going to play 26 minutes a night if you need him in the most important game. Like, Nate Schmidt was maybe the closest you would get to that. And I think Pietrangelo was a player they really didn't have. So to bring him into the fold, I don't know how Vegas is not the favorite in the West to start next season.
They're definitely the favorite. They have to be. They're so good. Yeah, their defense, like when you looked at that team over the last couple of years, Joe, you go forwards, excellent, you know, scrappy the first year, and then they got better talent coming in, Pacioretty, Stastny, who's gone now. They had Cody Eakin, gone now. By the way, he's in Buffalo as well as Taylor Hall. Yep. And I like that signing. I just want to point that out. Mm-hmm. They've always had a good forward unit. Marc-Andre Fleury, rock solid in goal. The backup situation wasn't always great. Malcolm Subban, you know, good luck Chicago. To me at least, has not proven a single thing. Colin Delia, you know, is trying to work his way into being a regular NHL netminder. And so, you know, the Hawks, good luck with your goalies. I don't know what's going to happen there. But the Golden Knights, one downfall, you're right. Like, they have solid defensemen. They had Nate Schmidt. Shea Theodore is coming into his own. I feel like he's going to be a huge minute muncher that's going to put up good numbers. The defense was the one area of that Golden Knights team that you could look at. You go, well, you know, there's a couple of really good, strong defensemen, and then there's a bit of a drop-off, and then maybe you can expose their second and third pairing. They shorted up with the Alec Martinez trade. And now they bring in Pietrangelo, who is the whale of free agency, and that's a great signing. I mean, Joe, you know what it's like in the desert. You have family in Arizona. Vegas isn't too far away. It's very, very comfortable. It's good living. It's a very nice city. It's not all about the Strip and Fremont Street and all of that. There's a lot to it if you're a family man like Alex Pietrangelo is that you can like. And the atmosphere in that building, second to none. Apparently, the organization takes care of its players very well. You know, that's a great landing spot. And if you're the Golden Knights and you're the fans of the Golden Knights, I think you look at that contract and you go, okay, this is great. And you're right about like the first 5 years, but you just hope it doesn't go the way the Brent Seabrook contract has gone, where you're dealing with a banged up defenseman that needs multiple surgeries in 1 year just to get him back into playing shape. Especially when he gets into his mid to late 30s. But right now it looks like a golden signing, by the way. I like their uniforms, the third jerseys. They are not the Nashville Predators. Yeah, it is not the Nashville Predators mustard jersey. There, if you see a good image of it, there's a shine. There's a little shimmer there. It is golden, little speckles. It's very nice. I very much appreciate what the Golden Knights are doing and have done on and off the ice.
Yeah, I didn't really ever get that mustard type of look. Like, I saw someone compare it to those old Jacksonville Jaguars, like Color Rush uniforms that they had for a couple years there. But I think given what the Golden Knights colors are, and like you said, like in the light, it really sparkles. Like, it's gold. So I think that they nailed it with those jerseys. So I like those a lot. And I think, like you said, this Pedrangelo signing, like Shea Theodore maybe is someone I should have mentioned, by the way. Like, he has become a top pair defenseman in the league. Like, he has. To have Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore is like a 1-2 punch on your blue line with the talent you've already got up front. I love it. They'll have to do something small probably to get under the cap. Well, probably they will have to. They're $1 million over cap as we stand today. It sounds like they're not now going to be trading Marc-Andre Fleury away. There was a report last week that they would be willing to take another team would take half the salary and get a second round pick for doing that. But it sounds like now that they want to keep him, given, you know, there might be a lot of games in certain weeks. They might want to have a good 1-2 punch in net.